We are in part talking about these end times, and we began last week talking about that God is going to shake everything that can be shaken, and that includes you, if you can be shaken. Amen? That's a good thing. Judgment begins at the household of God. He loves you. Amen? He wants us ready to be able to stand in these last days. He doesn't want to show the world just us, you know, that we're just a picture of His mercy in these last days. He wants to show us off in these last days, not for our sake, but for His. Amen. In Haggai, I suppose you could go there real quick. Chapter 2. It really is not my initiative or intention, I should say, to preach a word that's going to draw a crowd or anything like that. I want to be the voice piece of God. And so it's my heart that when we come here, that you hear what He's saying, what's on His heart. I pray and seek God for what He's saying. I say that to say we're not just going through let's talk about this now, or yeah, we should have a little bit of understanding here. God is trying to get something over to us. I wrote this down. I'll read it. It's not too long. It says, If talking about the end times produces a continued fear in you, you're not seeing things correctly. If talking about the end times does not produce great soberness in you, you're not seeing things correctly. I'll say it one more time. If talking about the end times produces a continued fear in you, you're not seeing things correctly. If talking about the end times does not produce great soberness in you, you're not seeing things correctly. So God wants us to see things with His paradigm. He wants us to see things with in a right way. Amen? Right? Because reality isn't what you experience in your life. Reality is what's real. You know? And if you're a little African or Chinese or Indian kid in a hut in the middle of nowhere, your reality is all that is not much. Is the sun comes up and you get up and you eat, you don't know everything that's out there. But that doesn't mean it's not real, right? The same thing. We're Americans. We've seen the world. But that doesn't mean we have a right paradigm of reality. You know, when Elisha had an army around him with his servant, and he wasn't afraid, and his servant was freaking out, and he said, "Don't worry. There's more with us than there are with them." And he's like, "What?" And Elisha says, "Well, let me pray." And he said, "Father, open it," or "God, open his eyes that he could see he was with us." And he saw a great army and chariots of fire all around the hillside. That was reality. He just didn't see it. And just because we haven't walked into the future doesn't mean we have a grasp on reality. What he says about reality in these last days, I hope I'm making sense. What God is going to do in these last days, that's real, whether we've experienced it or if it's really real to us yet. But we have to live our life with the paradigm of what's coming, right? I mean, that's one of the signs of maturity. Kids, they're just concerned with having fun today, and that's fine for a young kid. That's all they're supposed to be thinking about. But as they grow up and they go into school, then they got to start to think about, okay, you want to get some good grades, and then you want to think about where you're going to be heading, if you're going to keep continuing to school or what kind of training. Because if you're just thinking, well, how do I have fun today? You're not thinking about the future. if things are going to change on the landscape of society greatly, then we need to know that and respond, right? Am I making sense? Hopefully. Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. You there? According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So God's not just going to shake things just to shake things. He says, I'm going to shake things in conjunction with having a people that is filled with the glory of God. Because we are the temple of God. Is that not right? We have become the temple of God. This scripture is talking about the last days. The writer of Hebrews quoted this scripture, relating it to the end days. So he says, I'm going to fill my house, my temple with glory. I'm going to give peace in it. All at the same time, while all everything's crumbling all around. Let me say this as nice as I can. Don't base your paradigm of the last days based on some popular selling books about the end days. Please do not do that. Wow. Well, as long as you're getting it, that's all that matters. Go to Joel chapter 2. That would be to the left. Before Amos, after Hosea. He's making us strong for the last days. If we're just thinking about how do I get through today, Our paradigm is not right. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting to go, you know, in one sense, yeah, we're in the last days, you know. But I'm talking about the last of the last days. I'm expecting to go into those days and see some awesome things. It may not all look real pretty, but the results are going to be great. Amen? Look at this in Joel chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 11. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? We could talk about a lot of things there, a lot of things, but I just want to pick out that one line where it says, the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Great and very terrible. So what's ahead for us? Some really great things, some really awesome things, but also some very terrible things. And if we just respond to, if we go into security mode or self-preservation mode, we're going to miss what God has for us. We're also going to, at least to an extent, miss some of the things God has for us if we don't prepare now for what's coming. Right? What if we're two farmers and you go and you plant your things in the spring and you water them, and I say, well, you know, I'm doing some other stuff right now, but you just wait till this fall. I'm going to work from morning till night on my field, and I'll get it all done. I'll just work super hard. And you're like, you're an idiot. It takes nurturing. And same thing with us. It isn't just you're going to get up one day and there you go. There's a process that has to happen for the fullness of what He wants to do in us. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. I mean, some Christians get shaken over little things now. But here's the thing, it's His grace. It's His strength. But let's let the process begin of Him humbling us, of Him humbling us and taking out those things in us that need to be taken out. Don't despise the process that He's trying to do in you right now. Because He's looking ahead. Sometimes we're just trying to fix today. I want you to hear this. But God's looking into your future, trying to get something out of you or into you now that's going to be very important for your future. Scott, I got a word for you. The expectation, if you can choose here or here, choose this one. You say, what does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if you know. But when it comes, if you can choose here or here, choose the higher one. Yeah, well, go to Isaiah chapter 60. That would be left also, but not left behind. I got the worst joke sometimes, I tell you. I don't even know if they can be classified as jokes. All in the delivery. Isaiah 60. Are you there? 60. 60. Verse 1. We talked about this last week. Another scripture of what we're talking about here. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Got news for you. Probably not new news, but there's a dark night coming for the entire world. When God says darkness shall cover the earth in deep darkness or gross darkness, as the King James says, He ain't kidding, right? Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Did you know there is over 150 chapters in the Bible that's predominant theme is the end of the end days, the last days? So there are 150 chapters that predominantly have to do with the end days. It's not a side note in Scripture. Maybe I won't read all these. I'll just, you can write these down if you want. I just put 10 things down that I read, that Jesus says concerning these last days that are coming. Number one, deceptive leaders. Number two, wars. He also says rumors of wars. Number three, ethnic and kingdom clashes. So clashes between ethnic groups and clashes between different kingdoms or nations. Famines. It's where the lack of food. Pestilence, which is different kinds of destruction. Number six, earthquakes. Number seven, hatred against Jews and also against Christians. Number eight, many people will be offended and many people will be full of hate. Number nine, lawlessness in people will abound. And number 10, many people's love will grow cold. But in verse 13, he says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, he names all these things that are going to happen. So he doesn't say, so find a good cave and store up some food. No, endure and get the gospel out. Think about Jesus. He's just not afraid, and he doesn't expect us to be either. You know, when Pharaoh said, no, I'm not letting your people go. When Moses went back to God, God didn't say, oh, I'm sorry I sent you on that mission. I didn't realize he was going to be so stubborn. You know, just forget it for another 100 years till someone else gets in there. Sorry to give you that hard job. He didn't do that, did he? When the toughest nation at the time rose up, then God rose up, right? He came to Moses in a fire and he said, I've come down to set my people free. Was it an easy job? Was it a little bit scary for Moses? Did great plagues come over the land? Yeah. But did God set his people free? Yeah. It's a type and a foreshadow of what God is going to do in these days. Are you ready? Are you ready? I should have, go back to Joel. I should have stayed there or had you mark your place there. But now y'all know where it's at. Joel chapter 2. You there? Y'all know this scripture here. Peter quoted it in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came and they're like, what is going on? And Peter said, this is that was spoken by who? By the prophet Joel. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. So what Peter was saying, it was the beginning of it. But it says in verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Or that also, that means they're going to speak the message of God's heart by the Holy Ghost. They're going to prophesy. They're going to speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Sound like fun? I don't know if that's an appropriate word, but does it sound like sounds good? Look at the next verse, verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great an awesome day of the Lord. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Does anybody else know where it talks about the sun being turned into darkness? Yeah. The one I wanted to bring up was Jesus. Actually, in Matthew 24. He says, after the tribulation. Actually, why don't we hold your place there and go to Matthew 24. Let's look at it. Matthew 24. You there? Verse 29, Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens will be shaken. So now we're seeing the context of where these two verses meet up. When is the sun darkened? Immediately after the tribulation in those days, right? So Jesus says there's going to be a tribulation, a great tribulation, he calls it. There's always, you know, maybe you had a trial today, you know. We've all been through trials in our life. Different nations and people groups have gone through trials. But he says there's going to be a great tribulation such as has never been. So that classifies it as you'll be able to look back into history and you've never seen anything like this. That's going to happen at the end of the age. And he says, at the very end of this, the sun will be darkened. And the sign of the Son of Man will be seen in the heavens. The reason the sun will be darkened, this is just a little side note, the reason the sun will be darkened is because just as you look into the sky now, do you see any stars? It's not a trick question. No. So they were darkened. Not literally darkened, but they were darkened because of a light that exceeds them. The point is, when Jesus comes in the glory of the Father, the sun will be darkened. You will not see the light of the sun because of the light that exceeds it. So he's given us a context here. What am I talking? Go back to Joel chapter 2. Remember where we started? It's going to come to pass that he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. His people are going to prophesy. He's going to pour out his spirit on everybody. Signs in the heavens, signs in the earth, right? And then he says, verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. When is the greatest move of God's spirit going to happen? During the greatest tribulation. Oh, I don't like that message. Okay, good. The greatest move of God's Spirit is going to happen during the greatest time of trial and shaking this earth has ever experienced. So it's the great and very terrible day of the Lord. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness or great darkness of people, but he shall arise over you and his glory shall be seen upon you. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. One, we're talking about this because first off, we need to have a context. We need to have a paradigm. Two, we need to have an understanding that our life isn't about today or this week necessarily. But he's doing something in us for what's coming. He's doing something in us for what's ahead of us. Ethan, he's getting you ready for what's ahead of you. It's bigger than you think or know. You have no idea. I'm serious, buddy. I feel like getting a little It's good. Jesus is a pretty radical guy. He didn't go and stir things up just to stir things up. But on the other hand, he wasn't afraid to do it. That's where he's bringing you. You're not going to be afraid. I'm not saying you're a fearful person, but I'm saying that's where he's bringing you. He's bringing you to be somebody who's not going to be afraid to stir things up. Like, once again, I'm not saying you're a fearful person, but the anointing on your life isn't going to be bashful, isn't going to be apologetic. It's going to be a little brash sometimes, a little bold, a little rambunctious, because God has a work to do. And he's stirring something up in you right now. There's a seed, there's an anointing within you. And you don't know all of it. He's covered it. He's covered it because you wouldn't know what to do with it. You would most probably run the wrong way away from it if you understood it. So it's a good thing that he covers things. Just like Moses in the wilderness, he's out there 40 years taking care of sheep going, probably thinking, this is my life now. Until one day God shows up in a fire and says, go to Pharaoh. What? I've come down to set my people free. No, I can't speak. I'm here, Moses. You go. I'm the one who works. Just obey me. And he's going to stir things up in you at the right time. But let him do Ethan, let him do what he wants to do in you now, for where he's taking you, okay? Because there's a day when things are going to shift, but you got to let him do what he wants to do in you now, okay? Wow. He wants you, Ethan. He's not gonna quit till he's got everything, until he's got all of you. Yeah. Okay. Where was I? He's coming to get us all ready. Amen. I feel like in some things I'm trying to get a hold of God, and it's like I'm on this mountaintop trying to hold on with my fingernails sometimes. But you know what? It isn't. I can't go by how much progress I feel like I've made. Because if I did, I feel like I've gone backwards. But some of the progress is in the process. The fact that we're going to push forward. Amen? That we don't give up. Ethan, you gonna do what God tells you to do? That's good. You'll appreciate me down the road if you don't know. Go to Matthew 25. Wow. I'm excited for what God's got for you guys. I'm excited for what God's got for the church. I'm not talking about this church, just this church. I'm talking about the church. God, come and have your way. Come and shake us and rake us and bake us and whatever. Do whatever it takes. Kill us and not physically. Are you in Matthew 25? Verse 1 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Key word there, then. Jesus doesn't say the kingdom is likened unto, and he doesn't say the kingdom will be likened unto. He says then. And so to understand when then is, I have to read the chapter beforehand. We're not going to do that. We've actually talked about a few points about it, but he's talking about the time of his coming. The time of his coming. We're talking about the last days. And so when Jesus says then, he's talking about the very last days. He says at that time, at that moment in history, which is the time that we are coming into. Let me say this. Jesus is not going to come. I mean, all right, I'll just say it and explain it afterwards. Jesus is not coming this year. He's not coming next year either. In fact, he ain't coming in the next 3 years. 4 or 5. It's gonna be a little bit more than that. We know that there, at least there is a 7-year period where Antichrist makes a covenant of peace with nations, Israel being one of them. He makes a covenant of peace, and that sets in motion the last 7 years of this age. And in the middle of it, after 3.5 years, he exalts himself, claiming to be God in the temple, which is called the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that will bring desolation. And that sets in motion the last 3.5 years, the last 42 months of this age, the last 1,260 days. No, I didn't just do that math. It's actually in the Bible. And so we don't know the day, but as we come into that season, we're not to be in darkness like this world, that day should overtake us as a thief. For the world, he comes like a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, a covenant of peace has been made. Finally, all this turmoil, finally, peace in the nations. And they have a pseudo peace. But in the midst of that covenant, he breaks it and goes after primarily to kill Israel. And chaos breaks loose in what Jesus calls the great tribulation begins. The time that we just got that we were just talking about, that he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We talked about this last week. What's he after? Is he just mad? If he was just mad, he could end it in a day. He's after a harvest. He's after a harvest. He's after a harvest of souls. He's going to bring the nations to the desire of all nations. And in that place, he's going to give peace. He's going to have glory in the midst of his people that the nations are going to come streaming to. There's going to be a move of his spirit that's going to be unprecedented. It will be at least 7 times greater than anything the world has ever seen. You're like, where is this guy getting all these numbers? Well, that's right there. It's in Isaiah. I think it's chapter 30. It says, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. I guess it matters. I guess someone could take that in a different way, speaking of these last days. But I think that what we know, it's going to be greater than what was in the book of Acts, because he said the glory of the latter temple, the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former. I think they had a pretty good thing going in the book of Acts. They were able to bring the gospel to the whole known world, as we were talking about, without microphones or the printing press or fancy buildings. Well, just one. Right? They did really good with the Holy Ghost. That's what we're talking about here in Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. When? Then, which is the last of the last days. During the time of birth pangs and when things are shaking. Not necessarily just the great, during the time of the great tribulation, but when things begin to shake more and more. When the trials on this planet begin to increase and His anointing and the moving of His Spirit begins to increase too. Am I making sense? He says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet their bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, say ready. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We don't know the day. We don't know, you know, do we got 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 35, 40, 45 years? I don't know. It's probably somewhere right in there. I don't know how many. But we don't know that, not yet we don't. As it progresses, we're going to see more and more the signs of the times. But he says there were 10 virgins. These aren't heathens. These are virgins. So let's make this clear right now. This is the body of Christ, and these are righteous people, made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? These are saved people. This parable isn't having to do with salvation. When we look at a parable, we have to look at the point that's being made and then not go off on a tangent somewhere else. Right? Jesus is talking about the end days and he's talking to his disciples, right? 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 So in context, it's the last days message to his disciples. So that would be hopefully us in here. Amen? He's saying this message is something that people that are walking with the Lord, who want to be used by God, who want to walk in what God has in the very last days, have to understand this message. Let me show you what wisdom is, he says. Let me show you what separates those that are wise and those that are foolish. Not saved and unsaved, wise and foolish. Okay? 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 did not. So what separated the wise from the unwise? Whether they got oil or no oil, right? They all had lamps, right? Many times, there's two ways of looking at this. We can talk about it in the context of, you know, they had salvation. And that's one way of looking at it. Another way, and I think probably even a more important way of looking at it, is they had ministry. They had ministry, you know? The worship team, they were preaching, they were praying, or whatever it may be, you know? They have ministry. But five had oil and five did not. What does the oil represent? In one sense, but the Holy Spirit. More specifically, not just the Holy Spirit, but our intimacy with God by the Holy Spirit. Because that oil had to go into the lamp, right? It's one thing to have the lamp that can burn, but Jesus, telling this parable, says there's going to be a dilemma in the last days. Here I have these people that are saved, but there will be those that are wise and those that are unwise. Those that were wise had oil, and those that were unwise had their lamps. They had salvation or they had ministry, but they did not have oil. They did not take the time to get the oil. And so when the cry goes out, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Just as I'm saying in here tonight, Jesus is coming soon. And we go, yeah, that reality is going to become as real as anything can be when stuff starts to happen. Just like when two buildings fall in New York and everyone goes to church. All of a sudden, oh my God, the reality changed a little bit. But when everything seems to be okay, oh, then they're back out of church. See, but when things begin to happen, I'm not going to have to twist anybody's arm and say, really, he's coming. I'm not going to have to convince anybody. I mean, for someone who believes that he is coming. See what I'm saying? So the cry will go out, he's coming. He's coming. But five didn't have enough oil to walk in what he had for him to walk in an hour. It wasn't that they weren't saved. It wasn't that they weren't on their way to heaven. They didn't nurture a relationship with him to be ready for what he had. They might have been in church and did whatever, but they weren't nurturing a relationship with God. Their heart wasn't hungry for God. During that time, they didn't stir themselves up to take hold of God. This isn't just a rebuke to say, you know, you better whatever. Don't get caught up in the motions and set aside what matters. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and Martha was serving. Right? Martha was serving. And Martha says, Jesus, you need to tell her to help me. And Jesus says what? What did he say? Dun, 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 dun. What did he say? Only before he said that, he said, Martha! That's what he said first, actually. Actually, it says, Martha, Martha, which if you read it in Hebrew, it's Martha! Because they said it twice, they wrote it twice when they said one word loud. So Martha's like, Jesus, you need to tell her to help me. Martha! Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good thing that shall not be taken away from her. It's good to serve. It's good to serve. But not while we don't nurture a relationship with Jesus. Serving's good. We need to serve. But what is needed is to nurture a relationship with Jesus, to love him. Amen? What is it about? It's about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Right? All the other things is supposed to branch organically from that. As we love God and love people. Right? Go to Revelation chapter 2. One more scripture here. Are you getting some out of this tonight? God wants us to be ready for these last days. And, you know, it's good to have knowledge, and it's good, and we need to serve. But one thing is needed, that we're nurturing a loving, our love for God. And we're hungering for God and drawing close to Him. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel, you there? To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you, and who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent or unless you change, unless you go back to where you were at. He's saying, you got this going for you. You are patient. You are persevering. You won't put up for wickedness. You won't put up with that garbage. People that are claiming to be something that they're not, you're doing good there too. You're not putting up with that. You're persevering. You won't quit. He says, but I got something against you. The way you used to love me, the way you used to do things just out of love. See, you used to go to the streets and talk about Jesus because you were so excited about Him, but now you're just persevering. You used to pray because you just wanted to know me, but now you're just persevering. And He's saying, that's good that you're persevering. That's good that you won't put up with wicked works. But I got this against you. The way you used to do it out of love. You need to come back to that. See, He's not saying, you're doing this, now you better do this too. That's not how He's saying it. He's saying, it used to be all out of love, but now you're just persevering. Persevering's good, but let's come back to love. He says, repent and do the first works. So He's not talking about not doing any works. What He's talking about is, let's do it out of love. Let's pray because you want to know me. Right? Let's get into the Word because you want to know Him. Right? Religion is a killer, boy. It's a killer. Just when it becomes solely rules and it becomes just a way of doing things and tradition, and it becomes what's right and what's wrong. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're not eating from the tree of life. Amen. So let me ask you, do you got oil in your lamps? I'm not looking for you to answer me verbally, but do you have oil in your lamps? Because when the cry goes out, the bridegroom's coming. There's going to be things that the body of Christ is going to walk in at that time that we have never seen. As time progresses, the opportunities for the church are going to be greater, but not everybody is going to be able to walk in them. There'll be those that are foolish that the door will be shut to. Not to salvation, but to walking in what God has for them to walk in. Because they pursued either just this life or they pursued just ministry above relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. Amen? I hope and pray and trust that you're getting this, because it was an important aspect when Jesus was standing there talking about those last days. He said, here is an important message that everyone needs to hear. But that church that's coming into the last hour, they need to hear this. That's us. He's saying they're virgins. They're righteous by the blood of Jesus. But there's so many that are foolish. They have their lamp, but they don't have oil. They're going after ministry, or just, you know, they're going to church, they're going through the motions. They got religion, even if it's Pentecostal religion. But they don't have first things first. It's about that intimacy with Him. Amen? Do you have intimacy with Him? Are you going after that intimacy with Him? This isn't about Him adding one more thing for you to do. This is about you get this and everything else will come from that. Thank you, Lord. We'll go to the highways and the byways. Amen? With the glory of God on us. My mom had a vision she shared on Tuesday. She's like, oh no, he's going to make me share it, isn't he? If you'd like. I have the paper. I could do it because I have the microphone. You could help me. She saw an hourglass. Right? And almost all the sand had run through, representing that time was almost up. But right at the on top of that empty space was the hope, all the prayers of the saints from the beginning of time that had to come forth. So there was a little bit of time left, but all these prayers that had to come forth. You don't need somebody super great or, you know, he just needs somebody that has a heart to love Him and has taken the time to get the oil. We talk about paying the price, but it's, I almost don't even like to use that word because it gives the wrong impression. Paying the price is, we're not earning anything from God. We're not paying a price to God. It's the only price you pay is to go through so that you can receive what He has to give to you. By grace, to give you something you don't deserve. You're not trying to earn anything. You're just nurturing a relationship or going through the situations of life. Going through the situations of life and not getting focused and distracted on those things, but keeping your attention on God. You know, it's possible, and that's what we need to do is be able to go through life and go through the things of life, but yet have a heart that continues to focus on Him and hunger after Him. Blessed are those who hunger, they're going to be satisfied. But He said, blessed are, or woe to you that laugh now. Woe to you, because you're going to weep. Woe to you that are satisfied now, because you're going to be hungry. In other words, you're just looking for temporary satisfaction. But there's people that are saying, I got to have more of you, God. I got to know you. I want you. And they're going to be satisfied. Those are the wise virgins. Amen? Well, I don't know. What are we doing, Lord? I just work here. Amen. God, you're a good God. Father, I thank you for what you want to do in each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring the clarity to each and every one of us, that we would not, that no heavy weight would come upon any of us, because your burden is light, your yoke is easy. God, you're not about giving us something else, us something to do, but giving us freedom and liberty in you to become who you've made us already in our new spirit man. Thank you for stirring up our hearts. Thank you for stirring up who you are in us. Hallelujah. Help us to be people that watch, that are looking forward, that are anticipating and responding. God, that we would be those who you said love your appearing, that we would be looking for that day, that we would be living our life with the anticipation that you're coming. And how things have been isn't how they're always going to be. Prepare us, Lord. God, rip out the religion in our hearts. God, rip out and anything, God, where we're just going through works, God. God, I pray that everyone in here would understand your unconditional love, and that nothing can separate us from your love, not even us, not even the stupid things we do and the wrong things we do sometimes, God, that we are not separated from your love, that you still love us. You still love us. Your love doesn't change. And we need to have an understanding of his love for us. Amen. We too easily get caught up in the tradition. And we forget that he's our Heavenly Father, and nothing will change his love for us. He's not up one day and down the next, even if we are.